But we are looking at CRA and continue to look to see whether there are ways in which implementation could be improved.
Thank you very much.
That was Fed Chair Janet Yellen explaining the Fed's decision to move cautiously towards a rate increase, which she said that she expects this year. She says the economy is likely to do well enough to call for some tightening later this year, even though they aren't quite there yet. She was at pains to also say the Fed, when it does start tightening, will do so very, very gradually. Our coverage of the Federal Reserve rate decision and Janet Yellen's press conference, brought to you by CGMA, Chartered Global Management Accountant, the designation for financial professionals who help your company make tomorrow's decisions today. Empower your finance team. Learn more at CGMA.org. Well, we had some movements in the markets. Interestingly enough, Yellen said that they do take market movements into account when they start making their monetary policy plans. Charlie Pellett has all the news on how investors have reacted to the Fed.
All right. Thank you very much, Michael McKee. Stocks are higher. Right now, we do have the 10-year down 1/32nd, looking at a yield of 2.31%. Stocks advanced. The dollar fell. Treasuries paired losses. This update is brought to you by National Realty, the experts in safe, high-return residential real estate. Visit them at www.nria.net. The Federal Reserve says while rates will likely rise this year, the pace of any tightening will be gradual as officials wait for evidence of a more robust economic recovery. The S&P 500 index climbed 8 points to 2104, up 0.4%. NASDAQ up 19 to 5,074, a gain of 0.4%. Dow Industrials also higher by 0.4%, up 63 points to 17,965. Our Fed coverage continues. Michael McKee, back to you.
Charlie Pellett, thank you so very much. So we have spent the entire last hour glued to Janet Yellen's press conference. We know what the Fed said in its policy statement. We know they changed their projections for interest rate increases to something more gradual this year, although rising steadily over the next couple of years. What does it mean for the path of the Fed and the economy? What does it mean for the markets? We have two very special guests lined up now to discuss that. First of all, Bill Poole. He is a former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, senior fellow at the Cato Institute, and an advisor to Merck Investments. We also have Ward McCarthy, chief financial economist at Jefferies, who years ago was a research economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond. So, Bill Poole, let's start with you. What do you take away from what we heard from Janet Yellen, what we read in the policy statement?
Hi, Kathleen. Good to talk with you again. I heard one person say everything is in place for a rate increase in September, and I would add to that everything is in place except September hasn't arrived yet, and everything seemed to be in place at the beginning of this year for a rate increase in June, and when June arrived, here we are, no rate increase. So as Janet Yellen emphasized, the Fed's policy is going to depend on how the economy performs. What I think is going to be interesting, and not necessarily just between now and September, but a little bit longer than that, we have sort of a race going on, if you will, as to whether the unemployment rate falls first or whether the inflation rate picks up first. And it might be that they both move very smoothly together, and it's very obvious when we get there that it's time for the Fed to move. That seems to me not to be all that likely. We may have one get out ahead, and it's going to make a difference which one goes first.
The Fed has to move on its forecast since monetary policy works with a lag. And while Bill is correct that we don't know what conditions will be in September, Janet Yellen, Ward, was at pains to say if we get the kind of economy that we have in our forecasts, we'll raise rates. Do you see any reason why we won't at this point?
Well, at this point, I think that the Fed is on track to raise rates before the end of the year, although I'm skeptical that they will be able to do it as early as September, primarily because of the inflation environment. And even listening to what Yellen had to say today, she talked about being somewhat confident that deflation may have been stabilizing, but she didn't really offer a whole lot in the way of suggesting that inflation is going to accelerate beyond base effects that we will get later on this year. So, you know, I think Bill's right in terms of there's a bit of a race on here, but I think what matters most at this juncture is what happens on the inflation side. And if inflation starts to show some signs of life earlier, then, you know, the Fed could go as early as September, but I don't think we're going to see that until late enough in the year that the Fed just sneaks under the wire with the first rate hike.
So, Bill, let's have you look specifically at inflation. In fact, I believe we get the Consumer Price Index tomorrow. The Fed's official gauge on inflation, of course, is the PCE, but we know they also watch that very important Consumer Price Index. Do you see a danger of inflation picking up to a degree that the Fed would be forced, even if the economic data were not really confirming, say, a 3% GDP rate of growth?
And I would like to emphasize the uncertainty in all these forecasts. If you go back to the March minutes, and I think it's worth going to the minutes, you'll see that at the minutes they also publish, and I wish they did it when they released the projections, they also publish standard errors of forecasts. And the standard errors are pretty doggone wide. What's happened over the past 5 years is that the Fed, that the economy, particularly GDP growth, has come in consistently below prior Fed forecasts. And so the date of the magic revival of the economy keeps getting put off. And I think there are reasons for that, but they were not forecast ahead of time. So we should not assume that it's all going to fall into place along the lines of the point estimates, the best guesses. And I would urge everyone to look at the minutes when they come out in 3 weeks. Look at the standard errors that the Fed itself discloses about the forecasting enterprise, or projections enterprise.
Ward, fair to say that based on what Bill is saying and you were saying, that we make too much of this. We worry too much about when actual liftoff is going to be.
Well, I think we do tend to make too much of this. And quite frankly, in addition to some of the economic forecasts, which Bill described quite accurately, I think, keep in mind the Fed has been forecasting that they were going to raise rates dating all the way back to 2012. So they expected to raise rates in 2012, 2013, 2014, and now here we are in 2015, where I think they will finally be able to get off the ground. But once again, they continue to lower their forecasts, and, you know, as by implication, push out the timing of when they do this.
Okay, but Ward and Bill, you look at the economy, and I know eventually, sure, it could get a lot stronger, and we could see wages rising, and workers could have more leverage, and all kinds of things could happen, but it hasn't happened yet. You start wondering if something really shifted structurally. We have more startups. We have companies that are gotten much leaner and meaner. Is it a different economy now, where we're going to live with much lower short-term rates, much lower inflation than we ever would have thought 5-10 years ago?
Who do you want?
Japan's gone through?
Absolutely. Look at Japan. Japan has had low rates and very low economic growth since when? 25 years, a quarter century. It's amazing.
So, Ward, as you're an economist and a bond market expert kind of guy, and a former Fed economist too, is it possible that that's where we're heading? We're not very high up in rates and not very high up in inflation, for better or for worse.
Well, it's possible, and of course, based on what we've seen in recent years, that seems to be the most popular decision. or most popular view, I should say. However, you know, what's happening today is not necessarily going to happen forever. And if, for example, if you think back 30 years ago, we thought we were going to be stuck with insufferable inflation for a long period of time. And then the last 30 to 35 years, we've undergone a disinflationary trend that turned into, that we're still not completely sure will turn, at least for a while, into outright deflation. So, you know, I don't think that you can extrapolate the future based on what we're seeing now, because what we've seen over the last several years is really a unique situation.
We're talking with Ward McCarthy from Jefferies and Bill Poole, the former Federal Reserve of St. Louis president, both of them with us for the half hour. Here we'll continue our analysis of the Fed decision and Janet Yellen's news conference. Of course, she said that given the conditions they see now, they do expect, or she would expect at least, a rate move by the end of the year. She didn't specify when. Markets still seem to be looking at September. Right now, stocks are higher, S&P up by 6 points. This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Taking Stock is brought to you by Porsche of Larchmont, Westchester's Porsche Authority and proud member of the Pepe Auto Group. Porsche of Larchmont. And this is Taking Stock on Bloomberg Radio.
Business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. Fed Wednesday, stocks higher. This update brought to you by Cohn Resnick, accounting, tax, advisory. To seize opportunities in commercial real estate, your business needs market-focused guidance from the industry-leading experts at Cohn Resnick. Find out how at CohnResnick.com. Stocks climbed after the Federal Reserve said the pace of any tightening will be gradual, as Chair Janet Yellen wants to see more decisive evidence of economic growth. Right now, we've got the S&P 500 index up 4 points off its high at 2,100, a gain of 0.2%. NASDAQ up 11 now at 5,067, a gain of 0.2%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 25 points to 17,929. An advance of 0.1%. The 10-year, the yield there, 2.31%. Gold up 5.30 the ounce, 1186.20, a gain of 0.5%. Crude oil, lower little change, down 0.2% at 59.86 a barrel. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
This is Taking Stock with Kathleen Hayes and Michael McKee on Bloomberg Radio.
Janet Yellen is the chair of the Federal Reserve. She just finished her news conference following the Fed policy decision today. Of course, they didn't do anything, but she says they are on track to raise rates if the economy develops as they expect by the end of this year. Bill Poole is the former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. He's a senior fellow at the Cato Institute. Ward McCarthy is chief financial economist at Jefferies, and they are both here with us. Kathleen had asked Bill just before the break if something fundamental has changed in the economy, and certainly the Fed's forecast for inflation and growth today are a little bit lower than they had been. You wanted to expand on your thoughts.
Yes. People are still talking about the current slow growth in the U.S. economy and the very low interest rates as a residue of the financial crisis of 2008 and 9. Let me refer to Japan for just a moment. Japan is growing very slowly, has huge problems. Nobody thinks about Japan's current problems as being a consequence of the financial crisis in Japan in the late 80s, early 90s. That was a quarter century ago. So we have to talk about what are the fundamentals that are involved with the slow growth of the U.S. economy. I just don't believe that the residue of the financial crisis is a reasonable argument anymore. So what I think has gone on is, and you see it by virtue of the part of the economy that has performed especially poorly, is business fixed investment. There was a question to Janet Yellen about consumer behavior. Her answer should have been that the problem has been that business fixed investment has been lagging, and if business fixed investment had grown anything close to a normal business recovery, there would have been more jobs, more consumer income, more consumption, and the economy would look a lot better. So the key issue is, why is business fixed investment so low, so abnormally low for this stage of a recovery? That's the key question.
So quickly, what's your answer? I guess what I was sort of positing is, you know, it's a different kind of economy and there's more technology and more contract workers and all kinds of things. Do you have a different conclusion, Bill?
They're high. Interest rates are lower than they have ever been in U.S. history, with the exception of the Great Depression. I believe that the issue is, first, regulatory constraints. Companies have a lot of projects that they would like to build, particularly in the energy area. They can't get permits to build. And then the other issue is fear of higher tax rates on entrepreneurs in the future, because our budget situation is very far from being resolved. So if you're an entrepreneur, why would you want to take a big investment now to have a return that would arrive 10 to 15 years from now that's all going to be taxed away? I think that's the issue. Those two, regulatory constraints and tax fears.
Ward, I want to go to the dot chart, which is, of course, the focus of everyone on Wall Street's attention, and ask you whether or not you really get much information from it, considering what Bill was saying earlier about how economic conditions can change so rapidly.
Well, do you want me to... As I mentioned earlier, you know, the Fed's dot plot, quite frankly, has not been particularly useful in terms of forecasting what they actually do. Where it is useful is only, I think, limited to how their change in sentiment is. So, for example, as we were approaching 2015, there really was a fairly strong consensus that the Fed would get off of zero and probably raise rates a few times. As the year has progressed, we've seen somewhat less enthusiasm for that. So I think the dot plot provides an interesting barometer, but I don't think that we should take the interpret the forecasts literally, because they are, you know, have proven to have been wrong over a number of years. And as Stanley Fisher has pointed out on a number of occasions, quite frankly, it's difficult for the Fed to provide specific forward guidance because they really don't know what they're going to do either.
So, Bill Poole, the Fed, the dollar, Greece, Europe, is it your sense that the FOMC is putting a little more emphasis, maybe not so much on Europe and whether or not Greece is going to exit and the risk of financial contagion, but are they putting the right emphasis on this stronger dollar? Janet Yellen said today, well, it's stabilized. Well, fine, it's stabilized. However, the dollar has moved up, and for some firms, they are less competitive now. How big of an issue is that for the Fed? How big of an issue should it be?
An improper, inappropriate question to talk about the effects of a stronger dollar. The dollar is, as economists would put it, an endogenous variable. It is determined by the system. It is not an independent force. So you have to ask, why is the dollar stronger? The dollar is stronger, in my opinion, because U.S. performance is better than performance abroad, including especially Europe and China, two major trading areas for the United States. So the dollar is a symptom. It's a symptom, not a cause.
Well, Jenny Yellen would agree with you on that one. At this point, with the Fed set to raise rates, dollar has been getting stronger. Are we getting back to fundamentals as opposed to the exogenous factors that seem to have influenced much of the debate recently?
Well, one of the big exogenous factors right now, at least I don't know of any econometric model that could possibly include it, is Greece. And what are the effects, what are likely to be the effects of a Greece default? Quite frankly, it seems to me that the issue with Greece is whether Greece defaults now or defaults later. Lending Greece more money is not going to fix Greece. because the government there is adamant that it is not going to introduce the reforms that would be necessary to put Greece on a solid growth path. So Greece is going to default. The only question is when.
Okay. Ward, this moves me to take another look at the bond market with you. You know, you work with the guys on the desk. You have a feel for the bond market. What is going to drive yields now? You know, we were well back above 2% on the benchmark 10-year. We had the, you know, last couple of weeks, the big sell-off in European bonds. So there's been some adjustment. But given where the Fed is now, given what's going on in Greece and Europe, what is your sense of how this latest FOMC meeting factors into the 10-year note yield and the bond rally or not rally generally?
Well, I think what the market has been telling us is that they are becoming, well, that they think the Fed is becoming more credible over a period of time and that they are going to raise some rates. And also the fact that the U.S. economy, you know, despite the fact that we have some problems in first quarter in every year for the most part throughout this cycle, that the U.S. economy begins to grow again and is more solid in the second and third quarters, so that we shouldn't put too much weight on what happened in the first quarter of this year or last year, for example. So I think that the bond market is preparing for an environment at least in which rates will not be as low as they have been. And they're responding to stronger economic growth in the U.S. and expectations that over the next couple of years, the Fed is gradually going to raise rates. So we're back to those types of fundamentals. And as the Fed keeps telling us, what they are going to do is data dependent.
Well, Ward, give me in 30 seconds the data that you are going to look at between now and September, and if there is one Fed official that you're going to listen to.
Well, the data that I think is most important, as I mentioned earlier, is inflation. I think further improvement in the labor market is pretty much baked in the cake. What we're not seeing yet are signs of prices actually getting perkier. We are seeing signs of deflationary pressures easing, and then gradually we'll get some base effects, but that's not really inflation.
Okay, quickly, who is your favorite for the Fed official?
The CRB matters the most.
Okay. All right. Well, Ward McCarthy from Jefferies. He's chief financial economist, Bill Poole. We thank you as well. Bill is the former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, senior fellow at Cato, and a senior advisor to Merck Investments. I'm Kathleen Hayes, along with Michael McKee. We're taking stock of the Fed and the stock market coming up next, right here on Bloomberg Radio.